Support comes from AgriGold, celebrating their 12th year as a major corporate underwriter of Illinois Public Media's Ag Programming and e-newsletter. AgriGold's support allows their customers and growers everywhere to receive quality ag information at no charge. More information on AgriGold is at AgriGold.com.
From the Land Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the closing market report for the very first day of December 2014. I'm Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Kurt Kimmel. He's at Bates Commodities in Normal, Illinois. Check the agricultural weather forecast with folks up at Earth Risk Technologies in Chicago, Illinois. And, of course, look at the agricultural cash grain market with the guys out at the Andersons facility right here in Champaign County. Your director of agricultural programming, Dave Dickey, will be here, too, with an update of today's agricultural news as we make our way through this Monday edition of the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Let's check now the numbers in Chicago as they finished up on this Monday afternoon. The first day of December, futures in the corn pit were at $3.75.5 in that contract. The lead option December down a quarter of a cent. The March at $3.89.75, up one. And May corn at $3.98.25, up a penny and a quarter. July futures $4.25, up one and a quarter. December of next year, $4.18.25, up 1.5 cents. Soy complex bean futures January contract up a penny, $10.17, the final price for the day. The March at 10.24, settlement up 1.5, and May soybeans at 10.30.75, up 1.5 as well. July contract 10.35.25, up 2, and next year's November at $9.97.25. Up a quarter of a cent. Bean meal futures at $3.84.40 were down $6.70 in the lead option December today. $32.22 was the final trade in the bean oil. That finished up 4 cents. Chicago wheat in the July at $6.16.5, up 27.5 cents. That's where a good deal of the action happened. And also in the hard red winter wheat, where the July futures were up 24.5. And they finished at $6.60 on the day. Livestock, live cattle futures, nearby contract at $169.82.5, up 95 cents for the afternoon. And the February at $177.77.5, up $1.55. Those are the live cattle. January feeder cattle at $234.75, up the $3 limit. The March up the $3 limit as well as $233.20. And the lean hogs for the day finished the December down 40 cents at $89.92.5. February were up 65 on the afternoon.
Thanks to everyone who attended the first annual WILL Ag Farm Assets Conference in Normal. We appreciate your support. And thanks to these businesses for helping to make it possible: Standard Grain, Strategic Farm Marketing, Midwest Plastic Products, Farm Credit Illinois, and Stuart Peterson.
Checking now some of the outside markets. The new January crude oil futures at $69.13 a barrel, up $2.98. Heating oil or diesel fuel on the day at $2.21.08. That's 5.7 cents of a cent higher. And the gasoline finished the RBOB or wholesale at $1.88.03. Up 5.5 cents of a cent for the day. Ethanol futures in the lead option December at $2.16.8, 6.8 cents higher, and the natural gas on the afternoon at $4.02.7, finished 5.7 cents of a cent lower. Checking the outside markets, where the Dow Jones Industrial Average stands at 17,776, just about 36 points lower. The gold futures around $1,212 are up $36.50, and the dollar index in the December at 87.97 is down 0.443 on the afternoon. Here's what the weather forecast looks like as it comes from the National Weather Service for the Urbana-Champaign area today. Mostly cloudy, a high of 29 degrees on a north wind at 13 to 15. Tonight, partly cloudy and a low of 19 degrees. Winds will shift to the east-northeast at 6 to 11 and gust to 16. And then tomorrow, partly sunny, a high of 36 degrees on east winds at 6 to 8 miles an hour straight out of the south. Mostly cloudy on Tuesday evening and a low of 27, and Wednesday sunny skies and 39. Wednesday night cloudy and 23, and Thursday mostly cloudy with a high of 35 degrees. More on the weather forecast when we get to the bottom of the half hour. We'll talk with the guys at Earth Risk Technologies in Chicago.
Support comes from Stuart Peterson, since 1985 offering strategic commodity consulting and marketing services to help producers manage market opportunities and risks. Stuart Peterson develops strategies customized to each client's goals and operation size. More information at stuart-peterson.com.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media on this Monday afternoon. Let's turn our attention to the marketplace and discuss what happened in the futures today with our regular Monday analyst from Bates Commodities, Kurt Kimmel. Good afternoon to you, Kurt. Thanks for taking the time. It looks to me, and I suspect you'll agree with this, that wheat was the leader in the marketplace. What happened there?
Cyber Monday. It was definitely a buy today. Got right with the program. There are several things taking place. Weather-wise, we're seeing a situation where some cold temperatures in some of the growing region, continued talk, wheat might not have gotten in the ground in some areas. Southern hemisphere weather, Argentina, a little warmer and drier. Then also, too, more fuel in the fire on Russian comments that wheat might be a little slower coming out of the Black Sea region, not an export ban by all means, but slowing down the movement out of that area set traders on the buy side. Then lastly, one thing we've been talking about for quite some time, wheat's been part of the spread issue. They've been buying beans, selling wheat for the last 8-9 months, and we saw some unwinding of that spread also. So it was several things that put July wheat above the $6 area. Ideas are that if we can hold together here, we could probably test 625 in the July futures.
Who were the buyers behind the rally?
Commodity funds, mainly. They bought upwards of 13,000 contracts. They were the main culprit, and everybody else kind of followed suit. It'll be interesting to see if open interest went up on this move in here to see if we see some new longs coming into the marketplace.
Does having the commodity funds lead this tell you anything about this particular rally at all as compared to whether it was technically driven, just a speculative move, whether there was a fundamental basis behind it?
Well, it was a combination of all of the above, but with the commodity fund action in there, you got to be cautious on these moves, just like the energies and the metals there Friday sharply lower, then sharply higher today here. It's one of these situations, everybody to the left, everybody to the right. It's just going to be a volatile trading affair when everybody starts moving in one direction. So as a producer, what this comes down to is you got to be prepared to take advantage of these extreme moves.
What does how do you do that as a producer if you're a soft red winter wheat producer, say in Washington County, Illinois?
Good question. Wheat is the toughest thing to market from a producer's point of view. From the standpoint that your window's very very narrow. Basis opportunities are very rare to come by. What we've been doing is using the options market to put a price floor under us from the point that one does not like to sell wheat at the beginning of the winter, not knowing what you're going to have. But as far as wheat marketing goes here in the east, it's going to be very limited because very few acres got put in.
What does it in turn tell you about the corn and or the bean market, if anything?
Well, the corn and bean market found a little spillover buying from the wheat, kind of helped that out. For the most part, if wheat stays firm, beans should go lower here and winding into that spread. News in the corn and beans was kind of limited. We did see a price reversal to the upside here, made a low and closed a little higher. The key is we can't try to follow through. Soybeans are closely watching the $10 benchmark to see if we can stay above that. The March corn's watching the 380 level, see if we can stay above that. Export inspections, we're still moving out what we sold. Not quite up to expectation, but the key will to be new sales, see if they continue to materialize. Corn sales, 126,000 tons unknown. Look for corn sales to sort of hang in there where bean sales will be limited. or moving to the southern hemisphere.
On the soybean charts, when you look at the daily, there is a head and shoulders there. Technically, where do we stand with that when we have a reversal to the upside like we did in the daily chart today? In late option January.
Yeah, it's well advertised. When something's well advertised, I got to be kind of cautious. But today's market reaction suggests that when you start connecting those lows here over the last 3 to 4 weeks, it's building support there. Failure to stay above this $10 level would sort of confirm a head and shoulders top and would project move lower. So we'll have to monitor that as we move along. So technically, you know, the bean market, if we got everyone following these moving averages, could generate a sell signal. And then, too, when you look at the longer-term 40, 50-day moving averages, a move below $10 is going to start tripping some sell signals.
Anything that we should discuss on the livestock side?
Dynamic move in the cattle complex, just continues to verify these ribeyes are not going to go on sale at all for a long time to come. It's just going to have to find something cheaper if you don't want to pay up for them. We'll watch weather as we move through the winter here in the cattle complex. Also, on the pork side of the equation, this is when, if hogs are going to take off, they need to do it fairly soon as packers start to reach out and reach for those Christmas hams.
And feeder cattle are locked the limit up.
Oh, on fire. Unbelievable. Look for them to go up and test those highs we made here this fall.
All right. Hey, thanks so much.
All right. Take care, Todd.
Kurt Kimmel is with Bates Commodities in Normal, Illinois, where he serves as their senior grains analyst, joins us on this Monday afternoon for the closing market report. You can hear him again, if you'd like, on our website at willag.org. Now here's Dave Dickey with today's Ag News.
In agricultural news, the Obama administration has formally appealed the adverse trade ruling on country of origin labeling through the World Trade Organization's dispute settlement body in Geneva, Switzerland. The WTO ruling, publicly released in October, reiterated that the U.S. can have a country of origin labeling law, but the USDA rule still treats imported Canadian and Mexican livestock less favorably than domestic livestock, and actually increases the detrimental impact on the competitive opportunities for both Canadian and Mexican livestock. The modified rule from USDA last year angered Canadians and Mexicans by requiring more information for muscle cuts on each production step, born, raised, and slaughtered. Canadian officials were disappointed in the U.S. decision to appeal the ruling. Canadian officials also warned that Canada's government is ready to retaliate against U.S. products if necessary. U.S. livestock groups have remained divided on coal. Russia's ruble has dropped more than 3%, pressured by declining oil prices and the flagging economy. The Russian currency traded 52 rubles against the dollar at the opening today. Oil prices, which are the backbone of the Russian economy, dropped roughly 25% since the summer. Meanwhile, Russia's pork, poultry, and beef imports are down sharply this year because of sanctions imposed by the country on imports from the European Union, the U.S., Norway, Australia, and Canada. Between January 1st and November 24th, Russia's pork imports fell 42% from the corresponding period a year ago. Poultry imports were down 23.2%, and beef imports dropped 5.1%. A gauge of China's manufacturing activity fell to a six-month low in November, and a new sign an economic slowdown is deepening. HSBC Corporation today says its monthly purchasing managers index fell to 50.0 from the previous month 50.4. The index uses a 100-point scale on which numbers below 50 show activity contracting. China's economic growth slipped to a five-year low of 7.3% in the quarter ending in September. And that's a look at today's agricultural news.
Hey, thanks, Dave. Dave Dickey is Director of Agricultural Programming for Illinois Public Media. It's public radio for the farming world. You know, right here on this campus, we have the oldest agricultural research plots for corn in the world. Every 6 years, the whole thing is planted to corn. I have more in a moment on how this is a working research farm and a living museum.
When you leave the hallowed halls of Illinois, Illinois.
You know, there's a story here at the University of Illinois.
There is just one thing you can't forget, my boy.
And it is a very true story.
It's an old established rule.
Our undergraduate library, the place where students go and study, our undergraduate library is built underground. And that happened for only one reason.
Oh, you can't throw shit on the corn. It'll die as sure as you're born. No, sir, we don't mess around. Now that berry's underground, because you can't throw shade on the corn.
Nope, you just can't throw shade on the corn in the Morrow plots.
Yeah, that's right. You know, the story about the undergraduate library is the fact that it's actually built underground rather than above ground to reduce any impact of shade on the Morrow plots.
That's agronomist Bob Dunker. He takes care of the Morrow plots and says the undergraduate library isn't the only building adjusted downward to keep the sunshine on the corn. And it's all happened for good reason.
It really is a historical continuum, kind of a living museum. You know, it was established in 1876, and it's the longest continuous research plot in America, and actually has the longest continuous corn plot in the world that has been documented. And you know, over the series of that time, it's been pretty much managed very similar as far as rotational scheme and looking at the effects of both fertilizer and crop rotation on soil quality.
Well, the Morrow plots, established in the mid-late 1800s, are just about as old as the University of Illinois itself. This land grant was established in 1867. The Morrow plots were much bigger back then. Three of the original plots remain, says Bob Dunker.
You know, originally there were 10 plots in the Morrow plots, and now there actually are three, plots 3, 4, and 5, and Plot 3 has been in continuous corn since 1876. You know, Plot 4 has been in a two-year rotation from 1876 until 1967, was in a corn-oats rotation, and then soybeans were swapped out for oats after that period to more closely reflect what our typical agriculture is for this day. And Plot 5 has been always been in a three-year rotation. It still has oats. It's corn-oats. Alfalfa rotation, and so that's our three-year rotation. You know, only every 6 years, because of the way the rotations occur, is it in continuous corn, and that's when we can actually measure the responses of the different treatments because we have a uniform crop.
The continuous corn plots, the plot that hasn't ever been seeded with anything other than corn, typically has the lowest yields. The three-year corn oats alfalfa rotation has the best long-term average yield. You can come see the Morrow plots for yourself on the University of Illinois campus. They're just to the east of the underground undergraduate library. The Morrow plots song, as performed by the other guys, they've been an a cappella group on campus since 1968. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media on this first day of December. It's a Monday afternoon. Let's check the cash grain market. Amy Sage is on the phone line from the Andersons right here in Champaign County. Amy, thanks for taking the time with us. You've got a couple of ground piles there at the Andersons. I'm wondering whether you've begun to move them out yet or not.
Today, we started to reclaim our parking lot pile today, so that makes us all feel good.
Well, I bet that. And what does it mean in the broader perspective for the marketplace when you start to move piles out? And it seems like you're doing this pretty quickly this year.
It is. Actually, we've had a couple of our trains show up, so that's good. They were sold early on, so we were hopeful that they would get here in a timely fashion. They have done that, so that's good. So now that we're starting to pick up our pile, obviously we'll be putting that under our tank space, which, again, is a good thing. But we're still full, and that'll still keep us full. Really what we're looking at then is just clearing the space out for January and starting to refill that up, which we're projecting that all to happen again as farmers will want to move Jan-Feb March.
Yeah, so it means your basis should stay steady as opposed to looking out at a big grain pile and saying, well, we don't need corn at all, right?
Exactly, yes. DP rates as well should continue to gradually improve. Yep.
And is that what your basis has done? Has it remained strong, steady to strong at this point?
Yes, actually, we did roll to the March today, that the net effect of that was a 3-cent improvement. So we are seeing basis values remain firm and even strengthen a little bit. So.
And for the soybeans, what do you find in the area from processors?
Still have been pretty strong, I guess it feels like people are still looking for those beans and struggling to get them to market in the Southeast. So I think that we're seeing a little bit of reflection of that even over here, and people looking for beans at this point.
Okay, and then very quickly, if you could turn your attention to the wheat market, because it rallied pretty sharply today, and the Andersons further to the east, of course, handle a great deal of wheat, known actually as a wheat grain company. What did they tell you about the marketplace for wheat?
To be honest with you, we haven't talked a lot about it yet. I assume we'll be getting a lot of verbiage on that here at the end of the day as people are writing up their recaps here. But we did. We had about a 30-cent bounce almost in wheat, which is obviously good for the market. And hopefully that doesn't mean that we're going to see a lack of wheat out there for next year. But I'm assuming that we're seeing with the later harvest, maybe a few less wheat acres getting planted.
And then finally, as we wrap up broadly, we've made it through the Thanksgiving holiday season. What's the expectations for this week, next week, and the following week as we head towards Christmas?
Yes, we expect there to be the typical kind of futures lull here between Thanksgiving and Christmas, but we do think that basis levels will stay firm and possibly continue to strengthen as we go into the new year in this area at a minimum with lack of farmer movement until we get into the Jan-Feb March month. So we look forward to that and keep an eye on the basis and DP rates in case that's something you want to lock in over the next 30 days.
And what are your bids for the day?
December corn is going to be 368, January 369. New crop, September, October, November, 15, 393. Cash soybeans, 1002. January, 1007. Sepoc Nov, 972. December wheat, 592. And new crop, July, 592.
Thanks a lot. That, of course, is Amy Sage. She's with the Andersons from right here in Champaign County. Joins us on this Monday afternoon to take a look at the cash grain market. You can listen to her again on our website at willag.org. When we come back in just a couple of minutes, we'll talk about the weather forecast with the guys up at Earth Risk Technologies. Mark Russo should join us in just about 2 minutes.
Agricultural programming on WILL is made possible by Farm Credit Illinois. For over 96 years, generations of farmers have turned to Farm Credit for their financial needs. Whether a young farmer or a seasoned grower, Farm Credit offers products and services geared specifically to the agricultural community.
It's National Pie Day. On this day in agricultural history in 1857, a U.S. patent was issued to Ephraim Ball for his two-wheeled mower design. In Ball's long invention career, he also created a new plow, the World Mower and Reaper, the Buckeye Machine, and the new American Harvester. In 1878, the first telephone was installed in the White House in Washington, D.C. Alexander Graham Bell installed it himself. In 1936, the first patent was issued for a commercial-scale hydroponic system for plant culture. The word hydroponics was coined in the early 1930s at the University of California at Los Angeles to describe the growing of plants with the roots suspended in water containing mineral nutrients. It comes from two Greek words, hydro, for water, and panos, to work or labor. The first large-scale application of hydroponics occurred in November of 1935 at the Chemi Culture Company in Montebello, California. In 1990, British and French workers digging the Channel Tunnel from their respective countries drilled through a final piece of rock and shook hands. Over 22 kilometers from the United Kingdom, and more than 15 kilometers from France. And in 1999, the Russian government passed an animal rights bill that prohibited people from eating their pets. And that's this day in agricultural history.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. I'm U of I Extension's Todd Gleason. In a moment, we'll talk about the agricultural weather forecast with Mark Russo. He's at Earth Risk Technologies in Chicago, Illinois. And just a reminder that you can find all of our programming at willag.org. That's willag.org. Mark, thanks for being with us. Tell me about the weather forecast as you see it in the next week or so.
Well, I guess the main news here is that from a temperature standpoint, kind of a deep freeze that's returned here over the past 24 hours in the Midwest will stick with us for another few days, but then that will lead to a period of a retreat of that Arctic air and temperatures moderating and returning back to more normal levels here by the end of the week, and in fact climbing to above normal levels across the Midwest starting out next week. But overall, kind of a variable pattern, but at least the extreme cold, it looks like after the next few days, we're going to be done with it here for a couple of weeks.
I'm ready to be done with the extreme cold as you look to the southern hemisphere then and talk about growing conditions there. They've caught up on rainfall, I think. What do we see in Brazil and Argentina?
Yeah, we see even further improvement in soil moisture across much of South America. That includes Argentina, Brazil, Uruguay, Paraguay, as the pattern over the next few weeks features a lack of ridging of high pressure over interior South America, and that allows these frontal passages to occur and thus numerous rain opportunities to keep growing conditions in good shape from now at least into the middle part of the month.
And is there any other part of the world that you're concerned about at this time?
Well, we're watching some extreme cold in areas of Asia. No sign of it moving into some of your main winter wheat areas like Russia, Ukraine, or Europe, or China. But we'll be in relatively close proximity to some of these areas, namely China here over the next couple of weeks. So that's something to watch, at least in the short term there. And then that will need to be watched for like Russia, Ukraine, and Europe later on December if there's any indication of that Siberian air flowing towards that specific region.
Mark, thanks so much for taking the time with us.
You're welcome, Todd.
Mark Russo, of course, is with Earth Risk Technologies in Chicago, Illinois. A couple of items as we wrap up our time together. Don't forget that we have a series of winter meetings, and if you'd like to see where those are, you can do that on our website at willag.org. Look in the Outlook meetings calendar. The most immediate meetings are the Ag Masters Program, which is sponsored by the Crop Science Department here on campus. That's at the I Hotel in Urbana on the 15th and 16th. We'll kick off in the morning with a larger event, and I'll host that program and then break out. This is really for people who are devoted to production agriculture into classroom style programming for the next day, meaning the afternoon and the following morning on Tuesday. You can find all the details at Ag Masters, for the Ag Masters, that is, on our website at willag.org. The other thing that happens that same week are the Illinois Farm Economics Summits, or what we refer to in-house as IFES, I-F-E-S. Those are the programs that we go around with the state. For the Ag Economist, they're in DeKalb on Monday, December the 15th, Peoria the 16th on Tuesday, Springfield on Wednesday, and Mount Vernon on December the 18th, and right here in Champaign on the 19th. Of course, I will not be in DeKalb.
This Stock and Commodity Report is made.
But we will wrap things up on that Friday afternoon there in Champaign. And you can find all the details for that one also on the Illinois Farm Economic Summits at our willag.org website. That's willag.org. Have a great afternoon. I'm Todd Gleason.